Again, and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
And we are mediums, healers and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence, direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing all sorts of things previously sent in, mainly at the moment, from our listeners who have contacted us by email, which is something that you can do if you don't like to phone, or if you're here listening to an archive, but you still want to get your input into the show. Then you can send us your questions to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I'll read them out for you. But if you'd like to join us with a telephone call, it's not a reading style situation, this program, but basically if you want to speak to a spirit guide about things that you might think that a spirit guide can help you with to do with spiritual matters or situations to do with our planet or other universe or the spirit world.
Yeah, we won't fix your plumbing though.
We won't fix your plumbing. No, you can actually join us. And we'd love to hear from you. It's, in the US, the number is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And they're both toll-free. If you are calling internationally, then it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And it's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi. I think I'm Mick Avery, and as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com, every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our book CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading, and we have lots of different kinds of readings, different durations of reading. We suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. And now, for English and European listeners, you can go to www.mickavery.com. And each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth plane. I have to do that right now so we can get on with the show. So without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, and she's going to explain more about the process and what we get up to, and also kind of anything else that might come into her little mind.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay, yes, Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who consists of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move toward a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Spirit Guide Gregory. This means there's no room for errors because interpretation doesn't come into it. He is not interpreting somebody else's words. It's actually not his personality that is using the physical body anymore. So if you want to find out more about this from my website, it's www.spirit-teaching.com. And like I say, yes, we do private one-to-one readings, not on the program, but, well, obviously not on the program. It wouldn't be private, would it? But anyway, we do readings. If you would like to phone up, we do audio readings as well. And obviously, if you are in the UK where we are at the moment, then you might be close enough to come and have a one-to-one with Gregory. And it's a spiritual reading, quite different from any others. And you can find out more about that on our website as well at the Akashic Reading page. Okay, I do believe Gregory's with us.
With love and light, blessings be. Dear friend, hello little bird, hello everyone. Yeah.
Hello Gregory. Well, we have a few questions to start with.
Very well.
Okay, let me see, where should we go first? We have a few here. Let's go to the UK Collective.
Yes.
Okay. The importance of numbers. This is a group of people in the in England who actually get together and they talk about situations. And we often get emails from them. But anyway, this is the one that is they put here, one of our group has been given numbers for most of their life. These numbers do seem to relate to world events, sound and healing frequencies too, when he has looked into them. So there must be something in this. To have a knowledge of these sets of numbers and then find out they are actually linked. The sequence of numbers is the same each time. Unfortunately, you can't win the lottery with them, though. I have a particular interest in the sound and healing frequencies myself. So there's a few different situations going on here that I don't know if you would just like to run with.
Yes, my dear friend, absolutely so. So sequences of numbers we can interpret as a form of relativity to the physical void. This is how then number actually conforms to the physical reality. It does not mean to say that specific number in respect of the analytical understanding of either mathematics or physics within the physical life actually continues within the spirit world. After all, the pattern of number, as has become illuminated within the journey of evolution for human beings, in a sense is something which is hinged upon the human journey. Does not mean to say that it illuminates exactly the same instance. That means that we have numbers relative to the same situation, or that echo exactly the same, mirror the exact same numbers that you have on your side of life. So what I'm saying is then, for example, when we look at different beings' vibration index, we understand that the number or fluctuation to do with a person's vibration index is relative only as far as it makes sense in the physical world. In the spirit world, we do not denote it by figures of number. We actually denote it, understand it, by an actual image of itself. So in other words, rather than in the spirit world, rather than determining that the basis of vibration of physical life is perhaps between something, we'll pick, shall we say, that it could be between 28 cycles per second up to perhaps 12 or even 1400 cycles per second. we are talking then about the aspect of what is possible within a human vibration. That is, does not mean to say that it takes it beyond other beings, such as whales or dolphin. Dolphin and whales both are delivered into a different pattern of cycle of event. They are much higher on the registry. That means to say they do not succumb to the lower depths of vibration that human beings do. And normally will actually only simply be able to vibrate to a situation which is less than, not less than, should I say, perhaps 850 cycles per second. The reason for this is not because of number, it's purely because it's its symmetry. That which dictates it is really to do with its brainwave activity, as well as the cycles at which its spirit has evolved. If you look then at the human situation, we can see that 28 cycles per second is actually quite slow. We have known human beings to dip below this on occasion, particularly when they are in negative extremes. And this is often something then not to then be beholden as a form of number on your side of life, that you cannot get fixated about it. The point is how number then relates to you in physical life, in a sense of positivity, perhaps in respect of retracing number back to their original origins, or perhaps to how it actually ferments with you, is just something that you see as a symptom of fact, rather than the fact itself. So perhaps then it will be that people are entrapped in some way by the numbers 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, simply because, in a sense, what they're gaining from that is the repetitive cycle of the number, but not actually understanding its true volition or meaning. Whereas if you look at the number 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2 in the spirit world, it actually has no meaning or relevance within any other cycle other than human relativity. So I suppose in some respects one could say that number is purely symmetrical to human identity. But does it have any other lateral worth in the spirit world? Well, what we're saying here is that the number then 12, 12, 12 simply means that it's an interminable sequence of events, something of the binary code of which computer literacy can be made from. However, also within this situation, we see that it's near to the top of the cycle of human activity, that of being perhaps 1,200 and 12, or that it be 12,000 and so forth. The situation, however, is in a sense masked by purely how you see it within the registry of what you're trying to express. If you look at the figures 12, 12, 12, all it simply means is that different facets of how you see it and how this creates explanation is because you've already given it a cause. The very fact of what is happening and transpiring in the spirit world does not bear the same relativity. It may be that the year or the time or the state of limit 12 is then exacerbated purely by its history or by what inference is created around it, and that it is not the number which is magical at all, but simply the context of information attached to it. If, on the other hand, my dear friends, you look at the number 4 and you see it repeated in cycles throughout certain abbreviations of your life. Some people, every time that they look at a clock, they see 4 o'clock, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon. Or they may become fixated by specific numbers, which actually mean what? Do they mean that they're on a certain specific registry pathway? Does it mean to say perhaps that the number 42 is in fact the universal number of all things, or simply something dreamt up? Of course, it only had its own connotation. The number 444 or 666 has no other relevance to it other than that of human attachment. In the spirit world, if you are looking at resonant energy frequencies and that kind of situation, what you're in fact looking at are the relevant frequencies of how to make a person better or how to make a person worse, depending on what energy you are and what your inclination is. If you then want a person to be balanced at their optimum, you're probably going to look at between the areas of perhaps 300 to 400 cycles per second. This would be, in a sense, an optimum choice. You don't really want to go to the highest frequencies because in terms of human mind and human exploration and understanding, human beings actually cannot stand that kind of frequency for too long. They can only visit it for very short little hops into it. They cannot tolerate it because, quite simply, it's a kind of frequency that would send you completely mad.
Why? In what way?
Because it actually sparks the synapse in the physical brain so quickly that you would fry.
Okay.
Quite simply.
And how would one develop this frequency in the first place, even be coming in contact with it? What would you, you know, give me an example.
Yes, absolutely so, my dear friend. Very often the frequency of this is perhaps determined by the encouragement of love within yourself, ecstasy. Creating ecstasy within oneself is, in a sense, heightening and raising the vibration frequency of your pattern and pathway. Now, being a human being, you aren't able to sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why you're not able to sustain it is quite simply your heart wouldn't take it. And also, nor would other parts of your biological system. So, for example, if you are a being who is reaching a state of pure frequency within this, perhaps around 300 to 400 cycles, is going to be your utmost limit. That doesn't mean to say that you're not as loving a person as someone who reaches the state of 1,000 beats per second or something like that. But actually, what's going to happen with that person is that they're only going to reach it in a mere split second, and then it will simply top off, and that they will be really, in a sense, basking in the light of it, of like a kind of after situation, afterglow situation, rather than the actual occasion itself. So oftentimes people who reach an utmost state of bliss only do so for a fraction of a second, and then the feeling stays with them for their entire life. Do you see?
I see. But that triggers a spark within their spirit self, then?
That triggers a spark, actually, within their physical consciousness that acknowledges their infinity.
Right, okay. And that's... Okay, I see.
Do you see?
Right. So would you call that, that something when people say that they had an awakening?
Yes, absolutely so. Yes.
And the sorts of situations that could create that would be...
Maybe all manner of things, my dear friend. It could be just simply looking at a leaf. Or it may be seeing other forms of wildlife or interpretations of wildlife that lives and shares the planet with you. It may be simply something that's evoked from a relationship that you have. Or maybe actually something, for some people, I understand that they reach similar states of nirvana, perhaps to do with physical activity. Some people, purely and simply by pressing weights and things like that. Other people running, other people cycling, other people copulating. It depends entirely upon what it is.
Physiological things, endorphins and
absolutely.
Everything.
So, of course, as well, yes.
Everything comes into it then. Okay.
It certainly does, because you're physical beings. You don't ordinarily only manifest things in the spirit realm. In fact, most of what you manifest is in the physical reality. And what I'm saying is
when you're
that,
here.
Yes, of course. So what I'm saying is when you are present in the physical world, even though perhaps some elements of your consciousness may be elsewhere in the ether world or wherever it may be, it doesn't mean to say that it's any lesser situation. And in actual fact, that will oftentimes give you a gateway open towards the afterlife, spirit world, call it what you will, and that in that manifestation, it may be that this simply heightens and accentuates. For example, you may then find that you're on various kinds of visitations, which actually increase your spiral rate of intensity up to over 1,200 beats per second. As far as your consciousness is concerned, as far as your vibration is concerned. And in that respect, it may be that you have a complete epiphany of your life.
So I can understand how this would change your life and way of thinking and your pathway forward, because you would be definitely be driven from a different intent. But it makes it sound like we as human beings are actually constructed to fail then, because if we can only get like that very rarely, in instances where at those times we are not affected by any form of negativity, that we are feeling totally positive, you'd have to be. And then the build up on that to cover the other areas that you were discussing. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, it seems
like we are actually not constructed to actually achieve much, really.
Well, no, I wouldn't agree with that. I do happen to say, however, that if you are looking at the fact of, or what you would explain as a fact of being, that human beings are the ultimate in evolutionary state or something like that, well, I have to disagree with you, because the evolutionary path of human beings and in fact all animals and all beings of physical life, it has inherent problems within it, because everything dies. So that means to say that everything passes from the physical life and leaves the simple husk that is left from the physical life. That means to say that there are improper situations which have been designed within it, that there are systems which fail. So it is not an optimal state of reality. That's why it is that the optimal state of reality is actually in the existence of the ether world.
Okay. That still doesn't answer my question,
please.
In the fact that...
I'm so sorry. I did not mean to meander there.
No, I'm thinking about... if we need these moments to raise our vibration, to quicken our cycle, then, you know, we talk week after week, we talk about saving the planet and changing people's outlook on life and that sort of thing, and to be more encompassing.
Yes.
So as we get more negative in this world, and the world gets smaller because there's more people and that sort of thing, and all of the other problems, then it's going to make it, it's not just the fact of negativity, is it? We're not actually even just fighting negativity. We are fighting the fact that we have to have these moments in order to really make leaps forward.
Yes,
and
that's
it's
true.
Getting more increasingly more difficult with the situation of the planet as we speak now.
Yes, I agree to a point, my dear friend. I do agree that human beings, humanity itself, at this present time, is tracing its steps along a very thin and narrow pathway. And what's happening in the main is that people are becoming are beginning to succumb to that energy of helplessness in many respects. However, I have to say that it actually, in recounting this story of how vibration works and the index vibration of physical life itself, we can see that in actual fact, so for this situation, we'll say that a human being, they sit down and they meditate for 20 minutes upon one day. And that changes their vibration just a little bit. It just tweaks it slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they meditate again. And instead of the vibration going back to where it was previously, it actually stays at a slightly different rate. Mm-hmm. And then subsequent times of that person going into that meditative state, gradually, incrementally, the vibration of that being raises, becomes different, the frequency changes. That means that instead of you dwelling at the bottom part of the register of 28 cycles per second, you are actually going to dwell at a much more different registry of perhaps maybe 200 to 300 cycles per second.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that it creates a complete change within you as a being, that you do not tend to then succumb to those extreme negative states, or if you do, they would only be fleeting, because the situation, so long as you then continue the momentum of energy exchange between your conscious state of the physical world and the spirit ether world, you will continue to up the vibration of your status, if you like, the vibration to which the cycles per second at which you yourself as a being create uniformity.
Okay, so
in the physical world.
Yeah, so basically, yes, we encourage people to do a meditation for that reason.
Yes.
And, but it could be painting a beautiful picture.
Absolutely.
Or anything that
making music,
yes. Something that actually sparks that within the person. It could be totally
yes.
an individualistic thing.
Absolutely so.
Yeah. And
of course.
So does that stay like in a meditation? Does that stay, the vibration stay, if they keep doing that situation, or if they stop doing that?
Well,
presumably it goes back to as it was before.
It can do. It depends entirely. Has that person actually grown from that experience? Have they continue to flourish within that? Are they going to continue to be creative? Or are they actually going to just pull the plug on their life and sit back and allow life to swallow them up, thereupon going back to their base rate of 28 cycles per second?
Hmm. Right. Okay.
You see?
Yeah, I do.
28 cycles per second in some respects could be said to be very quick. However, if you look at a field mouse, it's cycle and its beats per second, remembering of course that a field mouse actually lives for only about 3 or 4 years at the most. So its whole understanding of its vibration and what it is and how it relates to the physical world is limited. It's not limited by its concept, but purely by its understanding and its tactile response in the physical side of life. However, its vibrational index is, even with a field mouse, is at 68 beats per second.
Okay.
So you might say that if a human being was at its lowest point, they're even lower than a field mouse.
Mm. So is this, to do with, as far as the law of attraction goes and that sort of thing, and positive
yes.
thinking? And
yes.
How does that work? Are you working on the cycles of your vibration, or are you working on synchronicity, or how are you working with that?
You are working in many different fields in that respect. If you are talking about laws of attraction as in physicality, that's something completely different, because it's pheromonic, chemical, as well as biological and genetic. if you are talking about the laws of attraction as in synchronicity to attract different situations, you are obviously going to be able to raise your vibration to perhaps between 200 and 300 beats per second or more. You are going to attract greater positivity to that world of intent that you have.
Mm.
And it means to say, with that kind of intention, which is greater, which then has a better understanding, you would perhaps then create a completely open mind from having that, from experiencing that form of love, perhaps, that isn't on a physical level, but is something that is completely outside of the physical level. And by enhancing that vibration within yourself, what you're actually doing is accessing the greater reaches of vibration, which are then, in sense, further enticing. It's almost like, not like taking a drug, I'm saying, but in the physical sense, but as in respect of it creates its own momentum, almost as though you could say, like as if you were, I'm trying to think of the right expression here, that if you were in some kind of geometric status instrument that enabled you to perhaps have a completely weightless experience, and yet you completely kept motionless as far as you were concerned, being that maybe you were traveling so quickly around a fulcrum that you actually felt that you were still.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in that respect, then, would be you coming into the complete experience of vibration that simply is emulated by the physical organism simply because your brain cannot catch up with it. And what often happens with physical people, human mind, is that they can simply reach that state of nirvana bliss simply because their synapses are crashing into one another. And it actually becomes like a physiological, not a disaster, but a physiological situation, cyclone that's set up within the conscious state and also within the physical brain.
So if you are actually practicing the law of attraction and, you know, you wake up one morning and you are totally convinced, you know, it's going to work, then even waking up and feeling that, your beats, your index vibration is going to be different for a start.
Absolutely, yes.
This is why we tried to say, isn't it, every morning,
yes,
please,
yes,
you know,
yes.
Please try and wake up with a positive outlook. It's really difficult, I know, but that really does give you a head start to the day, doesn't it?
Yes, and it's part of the reason also, my dear friend, why we try to encourage people on your side of life to really put things to bed before they do, before they go to bed.
Yes.
So that you need to finish with those things that you haven't managed to deal with this day. That when you go to sleep, you really need to let them go as well, cut them adrift of your life, so that you don't actually wake up with them the next day, but that instead you have written them down, the things that you have to carry on the following day, so you don't even have to think of them. And then you can wake up refreshed, completely nourished by your inactivity, which also incidentally creates a great deal of lessening of pheromonic stress as well from the situations that otherwise create tension in your physical brain and in your physical body generally, which you don't want, because of all of the acids and salts and everything else that then come to build up within the physical body system. And I understand that our friend here in this situation was also asking about various vibration indexes of perhaps various certain illnesses and that sort of thing. And yes, you could say that certain people succumb to certain cycles of physical illness because their vibration has perhaps plummeted to a certain index that allows that frequency of illness to become ingested within them, even if they never had it before.
Are there certain illnesses like cancers and that sort of thing that are actually sort of accustomed to appearing at certain index vibrations, certain levels.
Yes, I have to say, and also that they tend to also come about when there are situations which are actually quite negative, or that the physical body is in some way stifled of oxygen. It's an interesting facet.
Well, stress does that, doesn't it?
It can do, yes. Stress can create an imbalance, an inability of the red corpuscles to actually hold oxygen for any period of time.
Hmm. So, what other situations would that happen?
Well, other situations, my dear friend, in return of other distressing situations, for example, then stressful marriages, stressful relationships, perhaps work-related diseases, which actually are virulent, create virulent hotbeds of other anti-cycles. Anti-cycles being negative pathways that are then created as, in a sense, if you looked at a stream, and you would see that in the stream that various situations of interruption of the stream create eddies and backwaters. These in the spirit world are called anticycles. And anticycles can be built up within any physical body, particularly if they harbor things such as resentment, such as illness, if people harbor situations of past activity that then weigh them down, hold them back.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just creating a situation that you're being held back by those memories, but you're actually creating anticycles, which then may illuminate further disturbing frequencies, which then can create disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the reason, my dear friend, why some people seem accident-prone.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I think probably everybody knows somebody who's accident-prone.
Yes, but oftentimes, you see, it can actually happen when a person is in deep distress over some other asset or some other facet of life.
Mm.
And it's actually because their cycle frequency has become so disturbed that it's wobbling, and it's creating anticycles within itself. So what you're seeing is, in fact, a person that actually becomes unsteady on their feet, as it can create anomalies within the fulcrum of the ears, which then creates the balance of what you see, which, of course, is related to your eyes.
Mm.
This is part of the reason why it is also, my dear friend, that is tied in with this, that people's eyesight changes with their balance frequency. And with their ultimate frequency of cycles per second. So that if a person, for example, dips below, shall we say, a nominal figure of around 200 cycles per second, and they gradually dip below that 200 cycles per second familiarity, that's a feeling of well-being, yes?
Yes.
And they begin stepping down below the 200 cycles per second into perhaps maybe around 100 cycles per second or even less than that. Then they begin to feeling much lower of themselves. Manic depressives are usually at around 28 cycles per second.
And is there any reason specifically for that? Can you talk about that for a second?
The reasons for that?
I mean, there's probably lots.
Yes, there are. Clinically, but, there are a great many.
But from the spirit world's point of view.
Yes. From the spirit world's point of view, my dear friend, the manic cycle tends to be simply because you have a depressive eddy, an anticycle, which then it doesn't just slow up the situation of the anticycle itself becoming slower and slower, but if you look at it, if you put petrol on water, and you watched it flow from one point to another, you would see that if there are inhibitors placed in the way of the flow of water, that it in itself becomes slower. It doesn't, it actually slows up the whole time that it takes for a leaf to go from one place to another place. Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is then entreated even further by the anticycles that are creating eddies from the obstacles in the pathway. Obstacles in the pathway then for physical life generally tend to be to do with the mind. It's not usually physical obstacles, however. So, for example, if a person has lost a limb, it is not the fact that it's not the limb not being present that makes a person depressed by it. It's actually to do with the what-ifs, the cycle of dependency that person had in their own conscious will about the will of the limb being present. And the fact that they then are in a state of mourning from the loss of it. That creates its own anti-cycle, and then a depressive state, of course, ensues. I know that that's being very generalistic. There are some people who are absolutely amazing, I have to say, on your side of life, who perhaps even have both arms blown off or something like that, and they are still so positive and so focused and forward-thinking. They've combated the whole anti-cycle problem.
I have to look at the Paralympics and that sort of thing.
Absolutely so, yes. In all of its forms, the Paralympics, in horse riding or whatever it is, you see that being in complete symmetry with the animal they're riding, and the animal they're riding understands that symmetry. And actually, you may often find, part of the reason why you may often find that the horses actually respond better to a Paralympian than they do to an able-bodied one.
Yes.
It's quite strange. But it's actually because of the fact that it's responding to its whole vibration cycle of event. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, that's something different again, isn't it?
Because, yes. But it's a case in point, friend.
Yes.
In order to say that just because you are looking at something which is defined as being horrible, abnormal, whatever it is that human empathy takes to that, is actually not necessarily going to be something that releases that specific vibration. And in actual fact, many of those people who have gained this kind of trust and empathy, being that they've even been born perhaps with no limbs or whatever it is, that they have a completely different cycle advance within their conscious state and within what they want to achieve, which actually makes it that they have no anti-cycles because they're able to combat them themselves.
Right, okay. Thank you. That's been really interesting.
It also, incidentally, my dear friend, means as well that Paralympians will seldom succumb to cancer.
For the reasons that you've just stated,
yes,
really?
Yes. Because of the overabundance of oxygen present, because of their excitement, their deliverance, their balance, their empathy, particularly with the animal as well, which creates great cycles of abundance. You will find this.
Or
even though there, of course, there are always disadvantages to this exception.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yes. But even if it wasn't animals involved, they still are. The thing is, it's the mindset, isn't it, as well?
Yes.
And that's the trouble. That's the problem, that you can either get succumb to it or rise above it. And
they
obviously have to have done that to get to where they are, even though they might get knocked back often.
Yes, but also, you see, what I'm saying by this is that just because you're riding a horse doesn't mean to say you're a lovely being. I'm saying quite simply that there are obviously a lot of ugly beings that ride horses, and the horses feel it. Their ugliness, I mean.
Yes. I'm not talking about Paralympics now either.
No, I'm not. Not at all, friends. No.
Okay. Well,
I hope that all of that is understandable.
Yes, that was a nice little trip around that situation. I mean, well, the thing is, I don't suppose, well, numbers. Is there something in numbers only if you take notice and you think there is?
Only if you take notice and they think and you think that there is.
So if everybody was given to doing this, I know what they're saying. This person saying, and
yes,
you know, so many people do it.
Absolutely.
So there has to be something going on there.
Yes, it's a different empathy. So what they're saying is they're using the number as a cerebral, plausible situation to indicate that they have an empathy with a condition. If the number wasn't present, would they still have the empathy with the condition? Perhaps not, because they wouldn't actually recognize it as being present, because the number has given them that presence. But what I'm saying is, without the number, you would still have that empathy, if only but you would realize it.
Mm.
The number is simply an instrument, not of the ether world or of the universe. It's an instrument of human state and destiny.
Okay, but the numerology does work, doesn't it?
Yes.
So how do you figure that in with this
numerology
situation?
Works in respect of the way in which it creates advantages, which are, how can I say this? It's not applying numerology to a two-dimensional thing, object.
Hmm.
It's actually applying it in a four-dimensional way. So when you are looking at numbers in that respect, you are looking at numbers to define an explanation. Instead, what you are really doing is you're using the numbers in a sense to, because oftentimes when a person understands numbers to a certain extent, they're not always reading in the actual reason given, the text reason of why that number or the relationship of one number with others is then present or means this or that. Oftentimes it's a matter of interpretation, and how that interpretation is delivered is something via the spirit rather than the interpretation of the numbers themselves.
Mm. Okay.
Because
in some situations it does work.
Yes.
And the thing is, I guess, it says, they say about 2012 and all of that, that, well, we'll forget that because that's just things that we've made up, isn't it?
It's just
human beings. It's just,
yes.
It's just been made up by human beings, 11-11 and all of the other things, and no doubt there'll be something else. But yes, I know that there are people that actually see the same numbers over again.
Yes, I understand that.
Okay.
There are many people, for example, who actually fixate upon the time of 10 minutes to the hour of 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it may well be that is something then that creates an anomaly for them.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got something different. And sometimes it's just a phase that you go through, and then when you forget about it, it seems to stop happening. It happened to me for a while.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So, but let me see. Okay. Actually, I'm just going to go on to... there's another question about sound healing and healing frequencies. I think we'll save that for another week, because we haven't got too long, and that's probably going to be a bit longer, isn't it? No doubt.
Than a piece of string.
But I would just like to read this other question out from Dave in the UK.
Yes, please do.
It's to do with synchronistic events, so it's on along this theme. I can think of many examples, most of which do not seem to have any rhyme or reason to them. For example, many years ago, a friend of mine was travelling in Australia, and in the middle of the day and out of character, she decided to go into a bar that she was walking past. There, sitting at the bar, was her old boss from a job in London in the UK. Last weekend, I bumped into an old partner of mine at a supermarket some way from where she now lives. If I'd been there a few minutes later, we would never have met. Can Gregory please give some insight behind the reasons for these events and the mechanisms that create them, or are they just pure chance?
Interesting, my dear friend. Pure chance, yes, is also to do with circling energy as well. So circling energy through time, through periods of time when we are told or we are illuminating to the fact that that the life is a free will existence. Apparently, there are some bridges to this free will existence that help to remind us of our innate pathway, that help remind us to climb upon our spiritual freedom. And oftentimes it is to do with these named meetings, timed meetings, that are created through the pathway of synchronicity, some might say. In fact, many would. Is this the universe in uniform character, wanting to be predictable, where in actual fact nothing else is predictable? You walk through your lives always at the behest of other minds, of whether they are going to allow you to step on their bus, whether they're going to allow you to cross the street without being run over by some other vehicle. None of this appears to come from the path of synchronicity, and yet some would have it that another person would unhappily be the hapless victim of some other situation where their pathway of synchronicity were met at a different juncture and a different state. If we were to say that all of these situations were all meant, then there would be no point in living a physical life, purely and simply to be at the behest of some other syncretic pathway that then simply meant that your life was in someone else's hands at all times. The ways in which you, at certain moments in your life, come upon repeated, repeated friendships, repeated meetings, reacquainting friendships, is really to do with not necessarily how well I am, or how far I have become, or how far I simply haven't gone, because 20 years later and I'm bag meat talking with the same person in a completely different universe, in a completely different country, on a completely different set of principles, and for a completely different reason. This is not made by anything other than the symptoms of possibility that can be created within the physical life. Doesn't mean to say that everyone has sat down and experimentally played with the various cogs and levers of life in order that 20 years down the line you would eventually meet with or reconnect with a person that you met 20 years ago in the most strangest of circumstances. The situations and sequences of events that human beings come across, like in the Columbine massacre or some other such thing, people in the wrong place at the wrong time, or perhaps some would say the right place at the right time, if it was all to be down to God's agreement with humanity, with certain peoples of humanity that were picked out to lay down their lives for this or that cause. It doesn't resonate the right way if you think only in terms of that. However, human beings sometimes do resonate with the right attraction at a certain specific time in their life, and hey presto, there is some other situation that they become a part of that is then bringing them into the whole situation of meeting with a person, a long-lost love, or a long-lost adversary.
Okay, well, if you think about all of the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that you've ever met in your life.
Yes.
Most people.
And most of them you will never meet again.
Yes, but you should be able to bump into them somewhere. You should. What will happen to all of those you know, hundreds or people, or thousands, if you include all of the schools that, you know, you go to?
Yes.
But they all suddenly disappear and disperse into the world, and that happens year after year after year.
Yes.
I mean, you know, really, I don't suppose it's that unusual that you do bump into somebody on the other side of the planet, is it, that you know?
Not really.
If you look at it like that,
no, it isn't.
Surely.
Because the whole dispersal situation will be creating the same unique opportunity for them that at some point they will meet up, incongruously or not, in the middle of a field with someone that they actually knew when they were five or when they were six or 16, whenever it was.
You know, I hear often, you know, people say, oh, I was in Vegas and I was in the hotel and I was in the lift and somebody from school got into the lift. Well, you see, if you think about it like that, well, that's a really popular place as well, Vegas, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
That's right.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's odd, isn't it, really?
And the chances of you actually coming about with this is probably in the region of 5 in 6 billion. But the point is that at the time of which you were a part of that person's life and they were a part of your life, it was actually a very close encounter. And that means that resonant frequency then has to be carried on to the rest of humanity. So it means that you've already made that encounter, so you've actually halved the odds of creating it again.
Interesting. Yes, I've just...
Yes,
I've only just remembered now. Actually, I bumped into some old boyfriends, like, years and years and years after, and miles and miles and miles away from where I used to know them from.
Yes, quite so.
Yeah.
But that's actually because you've already done it. Out of all of the other thousands and thousands of people whose faces will simply move across your landscape and move on to their journey, will they recognize you? Maybe not. And how your pathways of synchronicity then become embroiled in one another again is not really down to the synchronistic world making it happen, but rather the equilibrium of the planet and the fact that you're still on the same planet.
Okay. Interesting. Definitely given us more food for thought, though, Gregory.
Yes, well, thank you so. Well,
thank you.
With love and light, blessings be upon your pathway, dear friends, one and all. Thank you so, dear friends. Thank you, Master Don, and all the little childrens that come with him and his dear wife. Yes, absolutely so.
Okay, thank you.
That's not to be taken as Master Don, friend. I know that you're not a dinosaur or anything, but yes. Absolutely. Okay. Well, welcome to your lives, my dear friends. Yes, thank you so. God bless.
Bye. I'd just like to mention our website again, and that's www.spirit-teaching.com. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.